afternoon, Truthwins team. Oh, who's Philip? Well,
who's Philip?
Well, a lot of you may not know much about Philip. He's
everybody should know Phil.
Yeah, good old Phil.
Good old Phil.
Let's do what Phil's doing.
Do what Phil's doing. Yeah, let's get our act together and get do what Phil's doing.
Right, there was a TV show I think that said, "Let's do what Phil's doing." So we're gonna, but we're not doing the TV show. We're doing our own version of Phil.
Everybody loves Raymond, and
they were doing a thing about eating. Eat what Phil's eating? But we're
eat what Phil's eating. Yeah, that's right.
Right, but we're not.
Yeah,
doing
I like
that.
Phil. He was a part of Everybody Loves Raymond. He was one of the producers
or writers,
I think.
Yeah, so
he's a great guy. I loved his show on the food that he
around the world.
He went to like Japan and ate some really strange stuff.
Eel, even the head of the eel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He went to Spain and ate pork, and it was
it almost made you want to go there too
and travel. But we're gonna want to go where this Philip went.
Yeah, so this Phil was over the top,
yeah, much more amazing.
Yeah, he walked with Jesus.
Okay, so we'll start off with prayer and then we'll get into our lesson.
Yes, Lord, we glorify you. We thank you, Father, for this holy day. This day is the day the Lord hath made, and it is good. It is Martin Luther King Day, and it's also an inauguration day. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for the blessings of the Lord is in our lives. We seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and all these things. Great things shall be come to pass. And we thank you, Father, for the production today, the day of life coming out of our mouths to the people so that they're able to destroy the works of the devil. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we all said, Amen.
Amen. So we'll just jump right in and let's see where Philip started out, where we kind of find him to begin with.
And John 1, 35 to 37, the first disciples. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speaking, and they followed Jesus.
Right. Well, here you don't exactly have Philip's name, but if you read other books and other things, it's pretty much true.
Pretty much true. It was Philip and Andrew.
Were there, and they were
the brother of Andrew, Peter and Andrew, right? Yeah.
That's not Peter. That's not what my brain was thinking about.
The patron saint of Russia and the patron saint of Scotland.
Well, but my
Saint Andrew.
My thought was, okay, here are two people who are searching for God, and that's kind of an example for us. We always should be searching. So before you're born again, you're searching for who God is, what God is, and what we need. And upon hearing the truth, they immediately went, oh, we're going to follow.
You know, it came to me that Philip and Andrew pursued Jesus. He wasn't like Jesus looking for somebody. Jesus was just doing his thing. And then Andrew and Philip pursued Jesus.
Okay, so let's go on and see what happens next.
It says John 43 through 45. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom the Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph."
Right, and if you remember, Nathanael was kind of going, "Well, I don't know about this." So
right, yeah, he goes,
"He was not.
Is there anything good coming from Nazareth?"
But we see that Philip is really searching out Jesus. It said in another part of the Bible that the two of them went to Jesus' house and they abode with him and stayed till, I don't know, like the what hour it was, like the wasn't the midnight hours, like till 6 in the morning.
Yeah, the 6 of the next morning. Yeah, and then they talked.
Then he went on.
For hours.
Right, to tell Nathaniel. Now we go on.
And it says, John 6, 5 through 7. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little.
Right, and it's
yes.
It's interesting to note that Philip was considered the practical disciple. So he was very practical and logically thinking, because he hadn't anticipated what Jesus would do. He was just thinking, well, if we had this much money, we could go buy this, and this is how many, we'll divide how many people are here, and they'll each get a little. And right. The reason Jesus, this is the great thing, because Philip originally was searching out Jesus, but then Jesus kind of noted Philip and began to search him out.
Trying to draw him to the spirit realm rather than the flesh realm.
Right, the practical realm.
The sense realm. The
practical,
the physical,
realm.
Right.
Right. Practically, you would think you had to go to the store and buy food. You wouldn't have thought, oh, you can have one lunch and it will grow. So we see right from the beginning, Jesus sees something amazing in Philip, and he'll see the same amazing thing in you as you seek him out.
Yeah,
and
seek
you,
first the kingdom
and you
of God.
Begin to grow. So after they feed the 5,000, Jesus gets them in the boat. He goes up to pray, and we go to our next scene.
John 6, 16 through 21. Now, when evening came, the disciples went down to the sea and got into the boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It's I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going.
Right, and that's pretty amazing. So they were translated.
The boat and everything was translated to the destination.
Right, so you can see that with Philip, he's doing a lot of rethinking for Philip.
He's recoining his being, his spirit being, into what we all should be.
Right, it's like the quantum physics. He's drawing the spirit realm, them into the spirit realm from the physical realm. Because we know that Philip also was in the boat and got to see Peter walk on the water. So he's seeing that. He's seeing the fish. He's seeing all these healings, miraculous healings. In fact, the healings are so miraculous that at times Jesus doesn't even go to the people.
He just calls it.
Right. It's pretty amazing when you think of the woman who he said, he wouldn't even talk to her. And she says, well, even the puppies get crumbs. And he goes, I see your faith.
The lady from Tyre.
I see your faith. And he didn't even really pray. He just said, because of your faith, it's done. And her daughter had a demon leave her just because of the words. You don't even have to be physically present. Because we've been discussing, Mark 16, where it says, cast out demons, and you don't even have to be there to do it. Jesus wasn't with the little girl, but his words are that powerful, so it's something for you to know. And then we'll kind of go back to Peter, to Philip. So we see Philip is translated. And that would be, that's like what is supposed to be. We're supposed to be doing greater miracles than Jesus. So we need to be listening to this and listening to this until we go, we can do this. We can feed the 5,000. We can be here and then be translated there.
Greater things will we do than Jesus did here when he was here. Because he's in us today.
Right. So we see Philip learning the quantum world, the world that seems impossible.
Living the kairos.
The spiritual world. And so now, let's see what happens to Philip. Now that he's been translated, let's see, now Jesus has died. So what's Philip up to?
Philip says in Acts 8, 38 through 39, so he commanded the chariot, in other words, he is the eunuch, commanded the chariot to stand still. But both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached to all the cities till he came to Caesarea, which was along the coast of the Mediterranean, just north of Joppa today.
Right, so that's pretty amazing. So he experienced it, and then he was able to do it again because we do know also that he was there because he was one of the disciples that waited for the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came on him and he spoke in tongues. But what happened, well, you kind of read the history. There's not so much history in the Bible.
I believe, just me, after reading all the everybody's rhetoric about Philip, and they were trying to say there's two different Philips, and I truly believe Philip the Evangelist is Philip the Apostle. They are one and the same. They both, they just changed his name from the Apostle to the Evangelist. I mean, he was a great evangelist. I mean, even Peter could be called Philip the Evangelist. Peter the Evangelist. So basically, I think there's enough evidence that really the Bible talks about Philip and they're all the same guy.
Right. But
except for the ones that are Philip of the two sons of Herod the Great, obviously.
Or not that. But I think what's interesting is that we kind of go, well, gosh, he's not written about as much, but it may be that like Paul wrote a lot of letters and the letters were saved because the Holy Spirit wanted to use them for teaching, because there's lots of teaching, because we know that Paul used responses. It's something we're just going to teach you a little extra nugget. Responses are like when you have a hypothesis. You say, women should not speak in church. And they might think he's saying that's true, but he's not really saying it's true or false. He's saying someone made that statement, and then they will address it.
Address it by proving it or disproving it.
Right, where we can see Paul had many women in his ministry, and many women prophesied and talked. So when he says, I'm not going to address this, he's thinking, of course you know I have women. And this is someone's hypothesis, but it's not truth. So that might help you when you go through some of his things to understand he's not necessarily saying this is true. This is the hypothesis, and then this is the response to the hypothesis.
Because that's the way the sages and many of the Hebrew Jews, that's how they came to a conclusion.
Right, because there's parts of times which obviously that they're talking about. He comes back and they're kind of say, well, we give our eyes to you. And that was a colloquial term, like, I'll give you my right arm. It wasn't really, they were giving eyes. And Paul didn't really have a sickness in his eyes.
Like the people in plays say, break a leg. Well, they don't mean break a leg. They just mean get your act together.
Right. So really what they were wanting is, Paul had convinced them that you're saved by grace and you don't need to return to the law. And someone had come along and talked to them, and they were feeling that they needed to go back to it, and they would like him to have their eyes because they thought they could understand better than Paul could understand. And if he saw through their eyes,
right,
he would go back to the law because they felt safe there.
They wanted him to hear that they had a different opinion.
Well, no, they wanted him to see it,
yeah,
really, because it had to do with eyes. They wanted to see their vision. No, we need to go back to the law because we feel secure with the law.
Right.
We know exactly
only
what to
do. Law.
Where,
the word of God.
Right, which we do understand that because grace makes it that you have to rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance on what you're supposed to do, which is a little more vague and out there. You have to invest a lot more than the laws.
Right.
Just don't do this. Give one little...
Indwell in God. Let's
right.
say it that way.
It was easier to go, oh, I can give one leaf of mint and I've taken care of my tithe.
Yeah, it's all quantitative. Yeah.
So it's much... It
like
seems
gravity.
Simpler. Right.
And the law of lift. We all know that.
Right, so it seemed much simpler. So we see that Philip was a great man of God. He was there with John the Baptist searching from the beginning. When he heard of Jesus, he was quick to go. He was very practical. Oh, you're calling him the Lamb of God? I'm going to go see. That's what we've been looking for. And then he tells Nathanael about it and gets Nathanael to join
right.
in. And then he's there and he's learning. He was able to learn. He learned from Jesus. Oh, because Jesus said, how would you do it? And then Jesus shows him how he should have done it, as opposed to
right,
how
yeah.
he was being practical to do it this way. So we have to be that way, because sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell us to do things that seem impractical. Like, oh, I shouldn't do it that way. How can I give that away and be any better off? Or how can I say I'm well when I'm feeling like
well,
I'm not
well.
Well,
you're calling the Spirit. The Spirit says you're already well.
Right. Well,
the Word of God says you're already well. You just need to get out of the unbelief of the physical and get your being focused on the Spirit realm, which is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit.
Right. So if you have something, because we're not denying you have something and your body feels a pain, or your checkbook looks empty, or it looks like everybody's laid off at work, and so you need to go to God.
Need to call those things that be not as though they were.
Right, but you need to find scriptures, because if you do it, it says, God shall supply all my needs. Abide in him, and he in you, and you can ask what you will, and it'll be so. Instead of hearing the news saying, oh, it can't be so, it can't be so.
Yeah, well,
it can be so.
That's that rhetoric from the news is really against the Word of God. The Word of God says you're healthy. The Word of God says that I never saw the righteous hungry and begging for bread. So that, you know, the Scripture says that we are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right.
We're blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the field, blessed in the city. Whatsoever we do will prosper, for we are doers of the words of the Lord, the Word of God.
Right. So I say we're going to be practical like Philip. We're going to look at practical things we could do, ask the Holy Spirit, and then as time goes on, we'll learn to live in with practical things. Sometimes practically you plan, you need to do it, or you plan practically, you spend time with the Holy Spirit, and he goes, do it this way, which is
right.
a new way. So that's
right.
what we're
Many
going to work
I've
on.
Many times I've heard of people making decisions against the flesh, let's say it that way, the world. They're saying this is the way to go. All these guys on.
Well, no, I have a
media.
Good example. Because we did actually pray. And now the children are all getting older and older. But she had gone. Her husband had something happen where they told him he could not have children after they had their first child, and they adopted a child, which is also a great way to get a child. But I said, you'll have more children. And she goes, you don't know what you're saying. The doctor says it's impossible. And I go, well, let me pray. Well, sure enough, she had two more of her
she
own
has
children.
Two more children.
She had a...
Because she believed Galen.
Right. So I...
More, in other words, her unbelief was destroyed by the prayer, and the prayer superseded the unbelief. Now, that's something that I've really connected to. Right, and that belief
is really the doctor's report. We have to go to what God said, and then we bring it into the realm. Like, Abraham was not supposed to be able to have children either, and God renamed him and called him the father of many nations, and he said it sort of like he's saying, I'm going to have a child, I'm having a child, I have a child, I have a child. He kind of moved to the positive.
Romans 10:17. Don't let the word of God depart from your eyes, for it is life. And it's, well, no, that's says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. That's 10:17.
Anyway, we know you'll do that because you're really smart, all of you out there.
Yes.
And you're going to read your word. And we're going to, because one of the things I'm reading another book, it was how was the early church different than the church today? And he was saying how they went against the grain of society. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. And the crowds are going to come just like they did for Jesus. Because this book, he said, like when COVID came, everybody couldn't go to church. And then they kind of lived on. And then now it's opened up. And he was saying how some churches haven't had people return, but the church we attend is so full, they've added an extra overflow tent and they don't know what to do with all the people because prayer will change it. So if your church is not experiencing growth, go pray. I prayed every day. Well, I still pray every day, but I prayed for everything to come back with after COVID because obviously some churches shut down and people didn't come and the churches is expanding.
Got out of the habit.
Right. And now it's like so full, the people are in an overflow tent for church.
Yeah.
So we're thanking God for a bigger, better building. He's got it planned. I don't know where it is yet. And I guess the people that are in charge of that, the pastor and the board are studying it. Or maybe someone in the church will go start another church in the town, across the other side of the town.
Right.
And they'll have two churches. I don't know.
God's not against having a bunch of churches.
Right. So there could be another one. If it's too hard to buy enough, like 20 acres to build a huge church, he could have four churches on 5 acres each. Because God can do it any way he wants. So we know
we're in contract with God.
Yeah, the growing mode. So we're going to say, like and subscribe. Be like Philip, read your Bible, learn and grow, be practical, but wise. And we're waiting to hear all the people who have been translated to new spots. We're practicing our faith.
Amen.
So have a great week and we'll see you next week.